JC Corcoran Podcast.
You'd send in a card or something like that, and then they would pull your card, call you, and then say, how much in the cash call? And you would have to guess too, you know, high, low, high. We should do that. We should bring back the cash call. It's actually sort of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you'd say like, you know, you'd say if there were if there was $312 in the cash call and somebody called in and said, I'm going to guess $370. You'd say, I'm sorry, that's too high. And then the next guy would call the next guy and say, I'm going to $260.14. Mm-hmm. And they would really screw it up by putting cents in there too, which would
make it almost impossible.
Mm. Almost impossible, because now when you put the cents in there too, now the number of possibilities grows exponentially. Just ask if we got a couple of $100 so we can play cash.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. That'll happen.
Well, no, a couple of $100. Something at least like $350 or something like. Well, I can't really say that because
I was just gonna say now they know it's $350.
I'm gonna guess $350. Congratulations. First call,
you
we have a
did
winner.
It. Game over.
K hits high.
Yeah, $350.
You win. All right, forget it. We don't need the money after all. I just want to see, just for fun, let's do cash call.
We can do it. We just won't have the cash.
How much money in the cash call?
Number call.
We never really said
that. We call IOU call.
We never really said that you were going to win the cash.
Right.
We just figured.
Just guess a number, and
just
when
pick
you
a
win,
number and yay,
high-low number game.
You're really cool.
Okay, hits. Hi.
How you doing?
Hi. How much in the cash call? What's your guess?
Oh, I was calling for something else. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Would you like to take a guess?
What was the question?
How much money in the cash call?
$250.
I'm so sorry, but thank you. That's too low. Okay, hits. Hi.
Wants a space suit.
Yeah, I'd take a stab at the cash call.
Go right ahead.
Let's go with 3.25.
3.25. Sorry, that's too low. Okay, it's high. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
I was calling on that cash call.
Yes, how much in the cash call?
I'd say $530.
$530. No, I'm sorry.
Actually, it's $628.
K hits high. You're on the air.
I'm going to guess $496.3.
I'm sorry. No. That's too high.
Too
K
high,
hits high.
Too high.
Yes, go right ahead.
301.
I'm sorry, that's too low.
You don't actually know what the number is.
The number is. It's in your head.
You have to do that too, because you have to go too low. That's part of the whole thing.
Now do too high.
I'll let you guys do that.
Too high.
Yes, you both are.
Oh, isn't that cute?
You have to do that's part of the because sometimes it's the high low game or it's the cash call. It's the same game.
Yeah,
they just like Channel 5 would do the cash call and then Channel 4 would come on and say, well, we got to do something too. We're gonna call ours the high low. It's the same damn thing.
Hello. 75 cents.
75. I'm sorry, that's too low. Okay, it's
that's
high.
An insult, sir.
Hello.
Yes.
Ready?
Yes.
420.
I'm sorry, it's too high. Didn't we already give him the number like a little while ago? Okay, it's high.
Yeah, with
360. 360, I'm sorry. That's too high. K hits high.
482.
I'm sorry.
360 was just too high.
K hits high. K hits high.
Yes, I just like to match whatever U-Man puts into this pot.
Not a telephone, sir.
And over a dollar.
Okay, it's high. Yes, yeah. Right there. Yes. Yes.
I was going to call on cash call.
Yes, go right ahead.
358.
Too high. Too high. K hits high.
Yes, I was calling for the cash.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yep.
370.
I'm sorry. I already told you 355 is too high. Pay attention! Okay, it's high.
Hi.
See, that's the thing about the cash call. You only get to play it once a day.
Yeah.
Thank
this
God.
This can go on for years.
Okay, it's high.
I'm sorry, the show's not on the air anymore, but I want to guess the cash call.
Merv Griffin is on. I'm sorry, we can't put him on. Nobody's won the damn cash call.
But we should do it just to ruin it for the people who follow us someday.
Go right ahead.
351.
351. Too high. K hits high.
Hi. Well, a while back you said 350 was too high, and you said 349 was too high.
K hits high.
Yeah, cash call?
Yes.
349.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's too low.
318.
We already told you. K hits high.
Yeah, two from the top, 350.
K-Hits high. I have to take his first answer.
Oh, what do you say?
K-Hits high.
Two from the top.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
$350.
$350. Lord Mack, tell him what he's won.
Absolutely nothing.
Because we don't have any money to play Cash Call. But someday we might.
Yeah, and that was practice. So.
That was fun.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm playing this one. I don't know where my controls are anymore. Everything's
I'll take moving. 35 cents.
You take 35. That's about where we're going to get you. Congratulations, sir. What's your name?
Yeah.
Says, I don't want the IRS after me. I got $350. I'm not going to report here. And that's how you play Cash Call.
Did you hear him talking about it on the radio? Could your eyes believe the writing on the wall?
And welcome to the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jconline.com for the 20th of April, 2021. It's 4:20. There's enough going on here today for about a six-hour podcast. This next panic aisle is open. It's only going to take a dusting to shut the city down today. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens because Dave Murray, who I still talk to on a continual basis, and he used to do our old radio show that I did for the last 5 years here up until a couple of weeks ago. And I talked to him yesterday, and he's like, half an inch, maybe a dusting to a half an inch tops. Well, Channel 4 comes out last night and says, maybe 3 inches. I do not see how that's a responsible forecast. I don't see that happening. I'm not a meteorologist, but I play one on radio and on the internet. All right, we're going to get a verdict today. Are we going to get a verdict today? I tell you, for the last 2 weeks, I'm thinking to myself, Derek Chauvin has gone away for like 20 years. That's all there is to it. And then whether you like it or not, yesterday they do the closing statements and the defense comes out and that guy did a hell of a job. A hell of a job. As far as I'm concerned, Derek Chauvin murdered George Floyd. But after I heard the closing statement by the defense yesterday, I was like, there's probably enough there for them to instill in the mind of at least one or two jurors some hesitance, some doubt, as in beyond a shadow of a doubt. Also, you get the idea that Minneapolis is going to go up in flames regardless of what the verdict is. And I'm starting to think we're looking at a hung jury. There's a lot of people think they're going to come back with a verdict today. And I'm starting to think that it's going to be the end of the week and they're finally going to say, we can't come to any sort of conclusion here. Hung jury, and then what do you do? Then what do you do? But that's just me. Let's see what happens. Now, it's fascinating watching our judicial system work, and all that is well and good, and I think there's a lot of education going on, and I think this country needs education about things like this and watching the judicial system work, or in some cases not work as well as it could, is something everybody should know about. The only problem with this, you know, turn on all of the TV stations, including cable, everybody's doing wall-to-wall coverage with the George Floyd trial. And it does make you wonder how many other things we are missing in the news because they're not covering anything but the George Floyd trial. We had a drone flying around and taking video and still shots from Mars yesterday. Orville and Wilbur did their first flight at Kitty Hawk like, I don't know, like 100 years ago, 107 years ago, whatever it was. And in 100 years, we went from about a 15-second flight at Kitty Hawk to flying a drone around on Mars. And by the way, they keep calling it a helicopter. How can it be a helicopter? There's no pilot. And the thing is 4 pounds. That's a drone. You know, for like the last 10 years, it's like, oh, drones, drones, drones here, drones there. Can't have a drone there. Can't have a drone there. Can't fly a drone over a baseball game. There are drone companies, real estate companies. As you know, if you tried to buy or sell a house anytime in about the last 10 years, you get that drone flying around. That's what we did in Houston when we sold our house. We got that drone flying around taking pictures of the property, and that helps sell your house. Everything's drones, drones, drones. Now we send a drone to Mars. It's 4 ounces. It has no pilot. It's run by remote control, and suddenly it's a freaking helicopter. Walter Mondale died yesterday. He was 93. Back in the days when Dennis Miller was funny, he did one of the greatest jokes I think he's ever told in his entire career. He was talking about when Mondale ran against Reagan, and Mondale only carried one state. One state. Reagan won everything else. And Dennis Miller said, Walter Mondale only carried one more state than I did, and I didn't even run. Yeah, that was 1984. Believe it or not, I have a quasi connection to this Walter Mondale story. In 1986, I had just left Casey. I'd been there 2.5 years, and we had this absolutely meteoric rise to the top, and it got the attention of program directors and general managers at radio stations all over the country. I was getting job offers from, you know, every major city, New York, San Francisco, Dallas, whatever. But the best one I got was an offer from my hometown in Chicago at a radio station called WCKG. I got so far as to looking for houses in Chicago because I was going to leave St. Louis. Didn't appear that anything was going to make itself available to me in St. Louis. So I figured, okay, maybe I got to leave. Well, you know, that's not so bad going back to your hometown and being on the radio there. So things had really progressed. We had been negotiating for like 2 months. And for reasons I won't go into, the whole thing went belly up at the last minute. But I was going to be paired with Walter Mondale's daughter, Eleanor Mondale. She had been on a couple of national TV shows and then started doing radio in Chicago. And they were going to put me in the same room with her every morning. I didn't even know her. And that's one of the things, frankly, that queered the deal. Because it's like, hey, wait a minute. You're already telling me who I'm going to work with. I would sort of like to have some sort of say in this. And she, by the way, was involved in a torrid, very public romance with one of the big stars of the Chicago Bears back then. It's the 22nd anniversary of Columbine. Remember when the world stopped after the Columbine massacre? Now there's like two of these a week, and you come home and you turn on the TV. Oh, another 17 kids shot at a high school in Utah. What's for dinner, honey? How about some COVID news? No good deed goes unpunished, right? A teacher in Connecticut who raised more than $40,000 last year to help hundreds of struggling families just found out she owes the IRS $16,000 in taxes on that money. A group of otters at the Georgia Aquarium have tested positive for COVID. Officials at the aquarium think the otters went out drinking last week. No, just kidding. They think they got it from, quote, an asymptomatic staff member. And fortunately, all the other otters look like they're going to make a full recovery. An 89-year-old woman in Wales released from the hospital after she recovered from COVID, but the ambulance accidentally dropped her off at the wrong house. And she got into a strange bed, tucked herself in there. Her family managed to track her down and get her home. Now, the big question is, how long are we going to be wearing masks? And a lot of people think it's going to be sort of like forever. In some countries like Japan, they wear masks all the time, even though the pandemic, and they've had a couple of other things involving air quality and stuff like that, so all wearing masks, but they just wear them now. It's like putting a hat on or something. One woman said, quote, the only time I ever take the mask off is when I hear there are zero deaths and it stays that way for a couple of months, but I highly doubt that's going to happen anytime soon, end quote. It's tough out there, folks. It's tough out there. It's like that scene when Harry met Sally after they have that four-way phone call early in the morning after Harry and Sally do it. And then Harry calls his buddy, played by Bruno Kirby, and Carrie Fisher gets a call from her pal, played by Meg Ryan. And when it's over, Bruno Kirby's laying in bed there with Carrie Fisher and says, my God, you know, please promise me I'll never have to be out there again. And she says, you'll never have to be out there again. Somebody asked people to name a few things in dating profiles that are immediate turnoffs. And here are some of the best ones I've found. This was something we got from BuzzFeed. So immediate turnoffs on the dating scene, having no bio at all. It ruins your chances because people don't know what you have in common or how to start a conversation with you. Number two, listing requirements that have to do with looks, like height and weight. Even if somebody fits the requirements, being too superficial can be a turnoff. Number three, the line, don't waste my time. It makes you sound irritated before anybody's even talked to you. Number four, photos where you're flipping off the camera. It's pretty common, but people think they look fun or cool, but it's sort of like flipping off all of your potential matches, isn't it? Number five, long rants about the type of person you don't want to date. It's more attractive if you're positive and you focus on the things you do want. Number six, overused cliches. Things like, I'm fluent in sarcasm, I don't like drama, or I'm looking for a new partner in crime. And number seven, quotes from the show The Office or anything else that's too mainstream. It's okay if something more obscure is used in your dating profile. Who knew? And now this.
Anthony Scaramucci went off
in a profanity-filled, expletive-laden interview.
We're talking about F-bombs.
I can't read all the words.
We can at least give you an idea.
Scaramucci said he wanted
to expletive.
Deleted.
Effing kill all the leakers.
Scaramucci referred to Priebus as a quote.
Again, expletive.
Expletive.
Blank.
Blanking.
Blanking.
Bleeping.
Bleeping.
Effing.
Effing.
Paranoid. Schizophrenic. A paranoiac.
And referred to himself as the mooch.
That was the least foul and offensive thing that Scaramucci said.
Scaramucci also using coarse language to describe senior White House advisor Steve Bannon.
Using an extremely foul term.
With language more fit for the outhouse than the White House.
So sexually explicit.
Such vulgar terms, they cannot be repeated on television.
We'd have to delete so many expletives, you would not understand what the quote meant.
Let me leak the blanking thing and see if I can blank block.
Blank block.
Bleep block these people the way I bleep blocked Scaramucci.
I'm not Steve Bannon. I'm not trying to suck my own expletive.
I'm not trying to suck my own expletive.
I'm not trying to suck my own bleep.
And I'm not going to blank my own blank. I'm not going to keep just saying blanking.
And baby,
the president's chief strategist talking about self-fellatio.
How is that even physically possible, number one?
All right, we have part two of our two-part conversation with Don McLean of American Pie coming up here in just a couple of seconds. We are working, by the way, on archiving the old podcasts. Right now, that feature is not available, but will be very, very soon. So you're like, oh, Don McLean, I missed it yesterday. I only get to hear part two. You'll get to hear part one. We'll get this set up here in a couple of days, and then we will let you know. Have you ever wanted to sit down and enjoy a meal with your cat? But that would present a problem, wouldn't it? Because cats don't like human food for the most part, and you're not going to eat cat food, right? But we have an answer for you. The people at Purina just released the Fancy Feast Petite Feast Cookbook. I think I'm making this up on that. It's a cookbook for humans to make yourself meals that taste like different flavors of Fancy Feast cat food. So while you won't be eating cat food, you'll be eating something that tastes like cat food. And who would turn down that opportunity? So now both you and your cat can enjoy things like chicken and rice. Yours will be a honey sriracha chicken with fried rice. Theirs will be a cat food that includes chicken, rice, and gravy. The cookbook has 12 recipes. You can download it for free. Have dinner with your cat or 17 cats, as the case may be. And then go down to the garage, close the door, put a sock in the exhaust pipe, and just suck down a beautiful brown death. All right, birthdays today. Miranda Kerr. I know people think that she is like this goddess, but her head is square. It depends on how she has her hair, I guess. But who wants to date somebody who's got a head like a box? She's 38 today. Carmen Electra. Wow, a lot of miles on her, huh? 49. Ryan O'Neal, diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer in 2012. Somehow he's still around. He's 80 today. George Takei, who is a friggin' riot on the internet, is 84 today. Fenway Park in Boston opened on this date 109 years ago, 1912. And yesterday they made the announcement that Oscar attendees are being instructed not to wear face masks while the cameras are rolling for Sunday's broadcast. So fantastic news for the LA Botox industry. And now this.
The A-List interview.
Oh.
Cheech and Chong.
How you doing, boys?
We're groovy.
Yeah, JC.
Well, you guys were ahead of your time, Cheech. I mean, you look around now, state by state, one after another, everybody's selling pot.
You know, Tommy said a long time ago, what if we're right?
What if we're right, yeah.
And how does that feel now?
Great.
Vindicated.
What are y'all doing in here?
We're smoking reefer, and you don't want no part of this.
Shh. You're smoking reefers?
Yeah, of course we are. Can't you smell it?
No, Sam, I can't.
Come on, Dewey. Join the party.
No, Dewey. You don't want this. Get out of here.
You know what? I don't want no hangover. I can't get no hangover.
It doesn't give you a hangover.
I'll get addicted to it or something?
It's not habit forming.
I don't know. I don't want to overdose on it.
You can't OD on it.
It's not going to make me want to have sex, is it?
It makes sex even better.
Sounds kind of expensive.
It's the cheapest drug there is.
Hmm.
You don't want it.
I think I kind of want it.
Okay, but just this once. Come on in.
Tim Meadows is one of the most underrated comics in the history of comedy. He's so funny. He's so good at everything he does, and he takes these little roles and just pops up in a movie, and he's so great. He's a nice guy, too. I've had him on the air a couple of times. Just wish the best for this guy. He hung around for a long time, too. He was one of those cast members that really stuck around for a long time, although Kenan Thompson right now is breaking everybody's record.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile.
I pointed this out yesterday that this guy really took me by surprise. When I booked the interview, this was maybe 5-6 months ago, I thought to myself, oh, it'd be a nice conversation, American Pie, whatever. Well, it turned out Don McLean was a fascinating guy to talk to. And yesterday we did part one of our two-part interview. Here is the second part now with American Pie's Don McLean. Please take this question in the spirit that it is intended. So
that's scary right there.
Yeah, I know. 2016, we've all been there with these marriages that end, and it ends in a big mess. And how are you able to write and to perform with that sort of albatross you're sort of carrying around? I mean, some people will say that, you know, it's the tortured artist syndrome, and it actually helps in the creative process. But those people who say that probably have not been through it themselves. And to be able to just sit down at a piano, sit down with a guitar, go out on stage while this stuff is hanging over you must have been the most difficult point in your life.
Well, I've been divorced twice, and the first time was no day at the beach either. This is something that's a good idea to avoid if possible. And I would say that women, by and large, have given me the most pleasure, the most fun, and the most trouble in my life, and they are also the subject of a lot of songs that I've written. So, you know, it's very painful, but pain is a large part of what I do. Mm-hmm. Loss is a large part of what I do, and that's just how it is. I can't sugarcoat it. You know, I'm a very resilient person because I've been on my own since I was 15 years old, and I've had sadder and worse things happen to me than divorce, where I had absolutely no future, and I had a very dark future, and didn't really know what was going to happen, but I just put one foot in front of the other and soldiered on, which is what you have to do.
Website, tour, new music, merchandise, all in conjunction with the 50th anniversary of the release of American Pie. Let's just cover all of that. The technology taking over and in your favor. It's a great opportunity to be able to celebrate this 50th anniversary and have all this extra stuff and social media and the internet can really do you a favor sometimes.
Well, it works for me. I mean, it's really working for me very well because we have millions of people watching this YouTube channel every week. Time Life is in charge of this, along with Warner Brothers. They've uploaded 11 albums and 173 tracks of albums that I own, which have come back to me through the years because of agreements that I made. And they were accumulating, and all of this happened to come at just this right time. So there's that. Then they're going to actually release a box set of the albums and a new album in the fall and probably a single in the summer from this new album. And so Time Life and Warner Brothers are a big machine, and they are behind me 100%. Will be for years to come. And there will be all sorts of interesting videos. And I've done some new things, even from the house here, about guitar playing and banjo playing and, you know, things that I've done for decades that I thought people out there might want to know a little bit about. So I've done that. And there will be, as I say, many concert videos and television specials I own as well will be uploaded onto this site. So it's very good. And then recently we've gotten a man named Spencer Proffer, who is an all-purpose guy who does a lot of things, and he wants to do a documentary movie about the making of the song American Pie, as well as a children's book and a possible Broadway musical of some sort using my material, my songs, and
now
my
you're
story.
Talking. Now you're talking. So, I was hoping you were going to say
a lot of stuff going
that.
On.
Oh, that's fantastic. That sounds great. Yeah. All right. So fast forward 30, 40 years down the road, maybe you're here, maybe you're not, and people will say, yes, Don McLean, and hopefully they will get the pronunciation right. No McLean's here. Don McLean. And they will say, yeah, the American Pie guy. That's automatic. What else would you like to be remembered for?
Well, I'm going to be remembered for everything that happened. You know, I mean, good and bad. There'll be a story there. It's already there. All you got to do is go on YouTube and look at performances, hundreds of them going back 50 years of every kind. You know, interviews, big time stuff, small time, little interviews, television appearances, you know, then all the songs I wrote, all the albums, many, many, many albums, TV specials. It all adds up to a gigantic pile of stuff and a personal life. Which people can make what they want out of it, and that'll be what they remember me for.
Well, very few people can lay claim to what you have accomplished, and that is that you did at least one song that took over the world for a couple of years, and a body of work that nobody can punch holes in. You know, nobody can sit there and go, well, you know, he did American Pie and all this other stuff he did afterwards just paled in comparison. Your body of work really is strong and it stands up, and I think that's why you're getting the recognition that you are. So 50th anniversary of the release of American Pie and all of the extra stuff that people will be able to pull down from the internet. Don McLean, it was an absolute pleasure talking to you. You did an interview on CBS Sunday Morning with a very, very good friend of mine, Russ Mitchell, and it was one of the best pieces I've ever seen on a musician. I hope you had as much fun doing that as because it played beautifully.
Well, you know, I've enjoyed talking to everybody. I really like being interviewed and talking to folks, and whether it's a, you know, a big deal or a small deal, I'm interested in people, and I'm interested in what they're going through, and I'm extremely apprehensive and worried about what the future holds with this situation that we're in and the struggle of regular people who 6 months ago were doing just fine, you know, and now they may wonder where the rent money is going to come from. So we are seeing something now that where I feel that music, you know, for what it's worth, at least maybe will help people get through things a little bit easier than they might ordinarily. And that is why I'm really happy that, you know, I'm able to come forward with a lot of stuff right now.
Well, it's all great stuff, and I know people are going to enjoy it. 50th anniversary of American Pie. Don McLean, an absolute pleasure talking to you. Best of luck, and thanks very much for spending some time with us here in St. Louis.
Thank you very much.
And there he goes, and there we go. Another J.C. Corcoran podcast here at jconthewine.com is in the can. Please tell your friends that we are here every morning, bright and early at 7 o'clock. You can download it at any time, but we do post at 7 a.m. St. Louis time. We're here Monday through Friday. And we also back things up with our Facebook page at The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. So there it is. Talk to you bright and early again tomorrow. Watch out for the snow later. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.